If I only turn the latches. If I only turn the key. If I only put the pondering on the burner, I might doubt my dragon tea. And I'll stop sitting in my basement.
Buddy.
Boom, 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 boom.
Hey, look, it's 6:04, and that means it's time for another episode of Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm your host, Dave Berthium, and here's my co-host.
What's up?
Soren Berthium.
What's up?
How's it going?
We have the same name, and it's No coincidence. It's my son, Soren.
Oh, who would have thought? How we doing out there, people? I'm back.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Well, it's good to have you back. It's been 5 weeks since you've been here.
Has it been that long? It doesn't feel like that long ago.
I know,
I guess
right?
It has been. But time flies.
We were talking about maybe doing it once a month or so. But
there you have it. Time flies when you're having fun. But I'm back, and I'm happy to be back. And I think I've brought an excellent selection for the folks at home today, and I'm excited to jam. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, let's do this.
Let's do this thing.
I got if you. In the unlikely event that you haven't listened to an episode of Tawny the Brave, co-hosted by Soren, before, it goes something like this. Soren plays me some stuff he's been digging lately. Some of it's new. Actually, very little of it's new. Some of it is new. Some of it's old. Most of it, but not all of it, I haven't heard before. Or
it's,
at least
it's
before.
New, it's new to me, you know? It's new to us.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so I kind of preview it or pair it up with something that I think goes well with it. Like something that I think, well, if you like that, you should check out this. Or just for some other reason, pair it together with something. So, we're just going to be playing two song sets. One selection by Soren, one selection by myself. What are you starting us off with today, Soren?
I'm going to start us off with a track called Spaceway 70 by Bruno Pernadas. Is that what it is? Something like that?
Pernadas.
He's a Portuguese guy. He's from Lisbon.
Sounds Portuguese.
He's from Lisbon.
That figures.
He's a former student of the, whatever, Lisbon School of Music, a jazz student.
You know, the Portuguese really do like their psych rock.
That's what they're known for, you know?
There's a lot of good, like, garage rock and psych rock that comes from Portugal.
I wouldn't even necessarily, like, you know, give it that kind of label. It's more of a jazzy kind of funky thing more than anything.
True,
but it is
but
for sure. There's some psychedalia going on there.
There's a relationship.
There's a relationship there, kind of. Yeah, anyways. But, no, this is off his, I want to say third or fourth out of four album.
Is this newer?
And
older?
It's a little bit newer. I think it's like late 2010s or something like that. And the album has a funny name. What's it called? I liked the name. It's like those who throw bread at the crocodiles must go and retrieve it or something like that. I don't know. It's funny. It's a stupid name, but it made me laugh. And I don't know. I heard this song when I was craving a sandwich one day, so I went on down to my local sandwich shop, Hoagie Boys on Osborne. Shout out to those guys, best sandwiches in town. And as they always do, they were playing some great music, and I really enjoyed what I was hearing. So I went up to the guy, who I think was one of the owners, doesn't matter, but I went up to the guy, and I was like, hey man, like, I'm just curious, like, what am I hearing right now? And he's like, it's good, isn't it? It's real nice, isn't it? And I was laughing, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, I found this the other day, so I thought I'd play it at the shop, whatever. And it was this, and it's been in my playlist, my repertoire ever since. So,
well,
I think you guys are gonna like it too.
Yeah, I think you first played this for me prior to the last time you co-hosted Tawny the Brave, so I've been sitting with it for a while, but
I was gonna say,
as I heard it, the 7/8 time signature and the style of it really reminded me of Stereolab and this song Percolator in particular.
Okay.
They really have a lot of similarities.
I could see it. There's definitely a Stereolab kind of sound going on. So I wonder if maybe that's part of the influence for this song, but who knows?
Could be.
Who knows?
Let's listen, shall we?
Let's give her.
This is Bruno Pernadas with Spaceway 70.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a gooder, as they say in Charleswood.
Oh, that's the one right there.
Yeah, from Emperor Tomato Ketchup. Probably my favorite Stereolab album. But there's a band that doesn't really have any bad albums. They just have some albums that are even better.
That's one that I've not listened to, but I really enjoyed that track. That's a fun one right there. Very, chimey, that bass line, those horns, everything. That was that's a cool song, right?
I'm glad you liked it. I remember seeing them live. I might have told you this story before, but it bears repeating. Saw, went down with a few friends to Minneapolis, saw them at First Avenue in Minneapolis, and I was talking with a friend just before they started, and I said, if you could pick a song to be in their set that they would play for sure by your request, what would you pick? And I can't remember what he picked. My pick was Percolator. And lo and behold, they started the set with that song.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was like, ah, I called it.
I win.
And also listening nice. To that bass line, it doesn't change. Like the chord, although there's these descending keyboard chords,
yeah,
the actual key of the song does not change. The same bass line all the way through. And listening to that bass line, you got to wonder how the bass player doesn't get a cramp playing that.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Quick bass.
That is like a fast paced. Yeah, and I could also, I was going to say, totally see how that is where your brain went when you listened to that Spaceway 70 track, because total, yeah, similar time signature, similar kind of sounds going on there.
That's, yeah,
those.
Well, and I really
I
dig
wonder
that,
if there's inspiration there.
I really dig that Bruno Pernatus.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to hear more stuff by that artist. And this next set, you've got The Farm.
The Farm.
Up. What's The Farm? Is that old? Is that new?
It's old. It's like 60s, I think. They were like a short-lived little group, I think. As a matter of fact, I don't really know if they were ever really a group. I didn't do too much digging on this one, but I think they're from Kentucky. I'm probably totally wrong about that. Somewhere in the States. And I believe it was like 67 or something. They got together to make a soundtrack for this like surf movie or something like that. And then that was it for Farm. Like, came together.
Do they in fact have no article? Like, it's listed here on my media player.
They're
like
a tough band to find information on.
Yeah. Are they The Farm or just Farm?
I think it's just Farm.
Okay.
Either way. But yeah, they got together for one soundtrack album, and I don't think they did anything else. And I like everything. I don't exactly know how I stumbled across this. But I heard this track, and I really enjoyed it. And you can definitely... It's not just like a surf rock kind of song, period, but you can definitely hear that it's that kind of a vibe going on there. And it's the whole album is worth listening to sometime if you ever have a chance, listen to it, get back to me. But yeah.
Well, it's got that 60s sort of jammy good time sunshine vibe. In fact, the song is called Sunshine in My Window.
Yeah.
And I paired it up with a little Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice.
So, this is a track from I should have looked it up, but it doesn't matter. I think it's from Crown of Creation, called Greasy Heart.
All right.
But we're starting off with Farm, and this is Sunshine in My Window on Tawny the Brave.
Boom, boom.
Jefferson Airplane. I was correct. That was the first single from their album Crown of Creation. The title track was the second single, but that was Greasy Heart.
Good track.
And of course, everybody listening to the show recognizes the voice of Grace Slick, mm-hmm. thanks to such songs as White Rabbit and Somebody to Love. I just wanted to see how old she is. She's been around for a while, and I gotta say, it shocked me a little bit. This fall, the day before Halloween, to be precise, she will turn 87.
Holy cow.
I know, right?
Yeah.
87. Wow. Holy moly.
Yeah, that's that is an iconic voice right there.
I wonder if she's
wrong.
Still performing.
I'm going to go with no. At 87?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
Ask Mick Jagger if you can still perform at 87 or
he's
however
moving
old
too.
He is.
He's moving out there, so you know what? Fair enough.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Maybe they're doing the, I don't know. The state fair scene or the
casino scene coming to Club Regent next month.
I would almost be surprised if she's not performing anymore. I bet you she still takes on gigs now and then.
Yeah, it all depends. I know nothing about her health wise, you know, at the ripe age of 87, but who knows?
And of course, before Jefferson Airplane, we heard Farm with Sunshine in My Window. Up next, we've got a little garage rock from the birthplace of garage rock, the mid-60s. You thought I was going to say a place.
I thought you were going to say Canada.
Yeah, I don't think so. But
I don't know if I think so either.
I don't know if garage rock really has a birthplace.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some experts who would trace it back to the beginnings. But I guess if you want to get real weird about it, you could say Buddy Holly had some garage rock songs. That's not really true.
Fair enough.
I don't know what the earliest garage rock would be considered, but we've got a track from The Music Machine from 67, and we're starting off with a track from The Ugly Ducklings from 66.
That's why I thought you were talking about Canada, because The Ugly Ducklings, they're from the motherland. They're local. They're not local.
From where?
They're from Toronto.
Toronto.
They're a quartet from Toronto. And one of Canada's first independent bands, apparently. They were active for 39 years, from 1965 to 2004. I'd like to think that they, you know, get packed it up in my honor, you know, because then shortly after that, I rolled around. But anyways, I think they had something like 10 LPs, a couple EPs, and a single they put out, and all on their own. No label, no nothing. No, yeah.
Well, I'm going to put this in the How Have I Not Heard of Them Before file.
I don't know. But this is off their, I think, their self-titled album from 66, and it's called Nothing, and I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, well, I've heard this a few times now since you introduced this to me, and it's pretty great.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow it up with The Music Machine, and I'm looking forward to your reaction to that.
I'm completely unfamiliar, so bring it on. I'm excited.
A garage rock classic. If you ever and I mentioned this some time ago when I could see you were getting into a lot of garage rock stuff. I'm sure there's a Spotify playlist, which is the exact Nuggets compilation.
Oh, there sure is, yeah.
Originally came out in 1972, and it collected together a lot of songs that never really got radio play, maybe a little bit of local stuff in each case, but no national hits. But The Music Machine certainly are one of the titans of garage rock, I think it's safe to say, alongside, I don't know, the Standells and the Seeds and a number of others that would be on anybody's list of the best garage rock bands. This actually comes from their Double Yellow Line is the track we're going to listen to, which comes from their second album. The way this guy sings, I just can't get enough of it. He's got this raunchy voice, and they've got super over-fuzzed guitar, and I think you're going to like it. But we're going to start off
intrigued.
With the Ugly Ducklings and Nothing on Tawny the Brave.
Let's do it.
know when we cry, cause we'll still be friends. But if when you call, nobody answers the phone, you'll know that's all, baby, I ain't coming home. Baby, you know I need nothing. I need nothing,
was Double Yellow Line by The Music Machine. I first heard that song from one of those Rhino compilations that's kind of an imitation of the Nuggets collection. In fact, the collection was called Pebbles. And that song, Double Yellow Line, was on it, but slightly shortened. They cut out about 30 seconds out of the end. I guess maybe just getting more songs on the album. I don't know. But there you go.
I like that
one,
though.
The Music Machine. And before that, the Ugly Ducklings. And that was a good old 1-2 punch of some great garage rock there.
I like that garage rock style, man. Reminds me of, like, yeah, the Seeds, the Sonics, all those guys. It's got a feel to it.
Yeah. Chocolate Watch Band. There's another one of my favorites.
Them, I don't know.
Not quite as gritty as, like, the Sonics or Music Machine.
But the Sonics got to be about as gritty as it gets.
They're about
as
gritty as it
rough,
gets.
But yeah. in a good way.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So next up, we're moving into the 70s and heavying things up a little bit.
Just a little bit. Not like, you know, but yeah, we're going to hear some UFO.
UFO?
UFO where?
I feel like I've seen their albums in record stores and I've never really listened to UFO.
You know, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really all that familiar with them until listening to what's the album called? I don't know, but it's the big one. This is the big one. It's
Greatest Hits?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, but all I know about them is, like, they're English. They emerged in the 70s, like, kind of as part of, like, the new wave heavy whatever kind of era, like same era as like.
I kind of like feel like the sort of part of the metal movement that was growing by the late 70s and into, you know, the heavier metal of the 80s.
But it's not, I don't feel that it's so heavy that it's like out of place here. Like, it's not like, whoa, tone that down a little bit. It's like, yeah, it's just sort of approaching that fine line. But yeah, like I think they emerged at the around the same time as like Iron Maiden and like Judas Priest and I don't know, like Def Leppard and stuff. So it's like, you can tell that it's from that era of music, but also just kind of, it sounds a bit more classic than heavy. I like it.
Well, they'll be making their Tawny the Brave debut today with a track called 16, and I'm going to follow it up with some Cheap Trick. Of course, if you've heard Cheap Trick, everybody's heard Cheap Trick before, but, and this is a track I've played on the show before. I've probably played it at least a couple times before. It's probably my favorite Cheap Trick deep cut. It's from their first album. It's called He's a Whore. And it's just definitely one of my favorite Cheap Trick songs. So
I'm imagining it. I could see it. They've definitely got a Cheap Trick has a similar kind of feel.
It's kind of a heavy track, but it's also kind of like power pop.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll check that out. But first up, UFO and 16. We'll be right back.
Oh, I like Cheap Trick.
I saw Cheap Trick live one time, also in Minneapolis. Went down with a friend of mine, and we were going down just to visit some other friends. We weren't going down specifically to see a band, but I went, well, we're in Minneapolis. Let's see what's playing at First Avenue. And Cheap Trick were playing three nights in a row. The first night, they were playing their first album, front to back. Second night, second album. And we were there on the third night, where they played their third album, In Color, which featured the single Surrender.
Oh, well.
Which, of course, you know from that 70s show. I do remember they were very entertaining. Anyways. And plus, besides the album, they played a few other hits or whatever. But throughout the show, their guitarist, Rick Nielsen, he had a mic stand in front of him, and all down the mic stand was all these picks stuck on it so he could grab another pick. But throughout the show, it wasn't just like he keeps dropping picks. He keeps flicking picks out into the audience. So he would hit a note, flick his pick out into the audience, grab another one, and keep playing. And he did that all night. He must have flicked like 30 picks out into the audience.
The pick of destiny.
Which is great, because that's souvenirs for people.
Yeah, that's super cool, actually.
So
nice.
So that was He's a Whore from their debut album, and before that was UFO with 16.
See what I mean? Not like overly heavy, but it's
no.
You know, it's you know what? Pushing
while it was,
the limit.
While it was playing, we were talking, and I was saying it reminds me a little bit of Thin Lizzy.
Or Budgie. Or
Budgie. The guy's voice reminds me a little bit of Rob Tyner from MC5.
Yeah.
So a number of things going on there.
Yeah.
But in any case, it's 7 minutes before 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and you are still listening to Tawny the Brave here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I hope you're enjoying the show. You're still tuned in, so you must be. Or your radio dial is broken.
Or you're being held against your will. You know?
I like that, the idea of that. Come on, change the station. This sucks. No!
No!
We're listening to Tawny the Brave.
They're playing good tunes over there.
So in this next set, we're going to start it off with a little selection of Sorens by a guy named Bowie.
The star man himself. Yeah. A track off of Pinups. So those that are familiar with that album will know that this is not a David Bowie original, but
of course, Pinups was an all-covers album.
It was an all-covers album.
And that he put out while Ziggy Stardust was still a thing, mm-hmm. like before he broke up the Spiders from Mars and shed the Ziggy persona.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've listened to that album probably two or three times, like not anything crazy, but I've always really enjoyed that album. And this song definitely grabbed me. I didn't know until recently that it was a Van Morrison / Them song. And while I like the original, I actually do kind of like this version a little bit more. It
certainly through... I don't know. I can't remember specifically about the guitar playing, but I know there's some tracks on Pinups that I feel were... I don't know, not an improvement on the original, shall we say.
Maybe didn't need to be covered.
But, he makes some arrangement choices or production choices that aren't necessarily, I don't know.
Agreeable.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about some of the things on there, but yeah. Mick Ronson's guitar playing is awesome, as always. David Bowie plays sax throughout the album, and especially on this track.
Oh, yeah.
Which you may or may not know, that's David Bowie's first instrument, his saxophone. That's
oh, really?
He played when he was a kid, as well as Van Morrison's. That's Van Morrison's instrument, his saxophone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So maybe he related to Van Morrison in that way. And besides the fact that he was covering Them, Van Morrison's early band, who were pretty much a kick-ass, you know, R&B band.
Yeah.
And so I thought I would follow that up with a Them track that you might not know. Of course, Here Comes the Night and Gloria are their best known songs, but and Mystic Eyes is also a pretty well known song, but I can't say as I've heard it on the radio before, and I've always thought it's just fantastic. So I'm going to play that one for you.
Yeah, I'm not all that familiar with Them. So yeah, no, bring it on.
Okay, Well, we're going to start off with David Bowie and his cover of Here Comes the Night.
Here it comes. I can feel it.
Right out my window, walking down the street, my girl with another guy. Those arms around her like it used to be with me. Oh, it makes me want to die. Funny how they look so good together. Wonder what is wrong with me. Why can't I accept the fact she's chosen him and simply let them be? Closing her eyes and telling them lies exactly like she's told me to. Oh, here it comes. Here comes the night. Yeah.
there's not really even a chorus in that song. It just got two chords. But it just somehow chugs along. And
you've got the guitar and harmonica kind of going back and forth with each other there.
And a little high-speed keyboard in the background going. And that bass. Boom, 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 boom.
Good track.
I like that one. Mystic Eyes by them.
They're pretty kick-ass, those guys.
They are. They were a heck of a band. David Bowie before that, covering them's Here Comes the Night.
And that one, too. I do like that version a lot. He kills it on saxophone in that. And, I don't know, keeps it close enough to the original that it's not just like, hey, what is this, you know? But it's, I don't know, it's a great version. I really enjoy that. Slowed down a little bit, though. Maybe.
Yeah, kind of. Most of the songs that Bowie covers on Pinups are slower versions, which is an interesting choice.
He wants you to really hear them, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. He can do whatever he wants. He's David Bowie. Anyways, this next set is getting into kind of moodier territory. I've got an interesting pairing going on here that I think is surprising, and I think it works. So we're going to start the set off with Sopwith Camel.
Sopwith Camel. What does that even mean?
It's an old World War I fighter plane.
Oh.
I might know that anyway, just from general knowledge, but I was never a model builder, but I had a model of a Sopwith Camel when I was a kid, which I built out of balsa wood and stickers and stuff.
That
kind of
just rings a bell now. Maybe my grandfather, who's super into old warplanes, has like a poster of that or something. I don't know. That kind of rings a bell.
That
wouldn't be surprising.
Oh,
eh?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, and their track, Fazon.
Who knows what that means? They keep saying it in the song.
I couldn't tell you.
And I sing along.
But this is kind of a funny one, because I think you might have put me on this song, which kind of...
Oh, really?
Kind of, it's like a... I don't know. We're kind of bending the rules here a little bit, but shh, don't tell anyone.
I like to watch music reactors online. I've probably mentioned it on the show before. And I remember one of my favorite reactors reacting to this song. Because sometimes he most often reacts to full-length albums. But he does have, like, a big wheel of requests for single songs. I mean, it's a randomizer kind of a wheel. It makes it look like he's spinning a wheel, but of course it's a digital randomizer somehow. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got about 300 or 400 songs on there by now.
Yeah.
But he listened a little while ago, like two or three months ago, to this track, Sopwith Camel.
Maybe that's exactly why you showed it to me. But I do remember that you were like, hey, you got to hear this. And so I gave it a listen, and I really enjoyed it. And it's another one of those ones that's been in the playlist and in the set for quite a long time here. So I've been wanting to play it on the show, but that's also another one that's kind of been sitting in our mix for a bit. We haven't had a chance to play it, but I don't know much about them. I know they're from San Francisco.
Well,
I know they have like a couple albums, and this is off one of them.
Okay, well,
and I really like it.
Yeah. And it's got kind of a certain moodiness to it that I paired up with The Police. You don't think of The Police as being moody, but Secret Journey from Ghost in the Machine, somehow I feel like it's a good pairing. It's got a sort of eerie, distant, kind of a laid-back sort of a vibe to it. So let's see if this works.
I like it. First up, Fazon.
Fazon by Sopwith Camel on Tawny the Brave.
Thank you. come out of the ground. Are they gonna raise the children in tiny caverns in the ground? Send the children out to play in the sound.
Ba 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 ba.
We're back. That was The Police from Ghost in the Machine and Secret Journey. I thought that went together well. It's got that same sort of.
I was saying, you know, it was a bit more
wandering, lost.
Yeah,
looking for a glass of water kind of feeling.
Sure. Yeah, that Sop with Camel track you were saying, and I fully, wholeheartedly agree with. It kind of just feels like you're like wandering through a desert or something. It feels like warm heat waves, kind of walking, wandering through nothing. Sort of a feel to it.
Heat and it's coming off the sand, making the the sight line shimmer.
A cactus shimmering in the distance that makes your eyes water a little bit. You know,
exactly,
something like that. But yeah, so that police
song. Maybe it's
song,
just the camel in Sop with Camel.
Maybe that's what brought you there,
making me think of that. But
no,
then,
I agree though. I agree. And that police song, it's got the same sort of, kind of droney, like wandering through nothing sort of a feel. But I was saying because it's a bit more synthy. It's maybe a bit more of a spacey feel as opposed to it's kind of colder.
Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
Fazone is warmer, you know what I mean?
It's hot.
It's hot.
It's steamy
it's
hot.
It's like eyes watering.
But lonely
hot.
And eerie.
Yeah,
still.
So that's where they relate, is that lonely, eerie, wandery kind of feel. But also they're like opposites, and that's kind of cool. Good pairing, man. Good pairing.
But yeah, I'm kind of pleased with that. And plus I love The Police generally. And all of their albums are good, but I just recently decided to, for no reason in particular, that their fourth album, Ghost in the Machine, from whence that track comes, is my favorite.
You just decided that?
It's just got no duds on it.
Fair.
Like, it really, all of their albums have a song or two I could take or leave. Ghost in the Machine has no songs I could leave.
You want them all. You want to bring them all
They're
on.
Great. Like, honestly, and there's another song on there called Omega Man, which is an Andy Summers composition, which is, I'd say, hands down, the best song Andy Summers ever wrote for The Police. And on the album, after Secret Journey, it ends with a Stuart Copeland song called Darkness, which is a great way to end the album and one of Stuart Copeland's best contributions to a Police album. It's just a great... And plus, it's got, you know, hits like... Spirits in the Material World and Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic on it. It's just a great record.
I must confess, out of all the Police albums, I believe that that's the one that I haven't listened to, like, like start to finish. I don't know that I've like, I think the other ones, I think I've at least given them at least one full length listen each, but I don't know if I've sat down and listened to that entire album. So you know what I gotta do is that.
Dig into
after,
it.
After that hot recommendation there, I think I know what I gotta do. But
well,
yeah, just, I really liked that track though. Good choice.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad you liked it. Well, we got time for one more set of two.
I don't know how that happened.
What? How the time flew?
Like, I guess we're just having so much fun.
We are. That was fun.
But that was just the snap of a finger, and here we are, guys. We made it. You know?
All right. Well, we got one more two-song set we're going to end with, and where are we going with this?
We're going to hear some David Gilmour.
David Gilmour of Pink Floyd fame?
Of Pink Floyd fame, yes.
He just put out an album.
He just doesn't quit.
And his albums, I mean, he's not tearing up the charts or anything like that, but...
No, but he's got some great solo stuff. He's got some fantastic solo stuff.
He does. And actually, the track you've selected comes from his first solo album, which I think was 1978.
It is 78. It's
kind of somewhere around the Pink Floyd Animals album.
Yep. Yep. It's off his self-titled album from 78. I believe it's called No Way, correct?
No Way. Yes.
No Way. Nice.
Way.
Yeah. I know he's got quite a bit of solo projects, more than I have time to like fully kind of get into, but I have actually listened to that whole first self-titled album, and it's got some great stuff on there.
It's good.
It's, and I mean, sort of, you can tell that he's the guy from Pink Floyd, but it kind of steers in a sort of a different direction. So if you like Pink Floyd stuff, you would definitely, yeah, I don't know.
Every song on that album has a ripping classic Gilmour solo on it.
Yep.
Oh, because yeah, that's kind of practically what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Plus his silky voice.
Yeah, no
he's
doubt.
He's such a good singer. I mean, everybody talks about his guitar playing.
But he's
one of the best
of
rock
on.
Singers. Like, I love his singing.
Oh, yeah. But what do you got to follow that up with?
Well, there's nothing like David Gilmour. So I'm just, turning the time machine back to 1969, I think, or something. I'm just playing a little Syd Barrett, the founder of Pink Floyd.
What an ironic pair up.
Well, I don't know if it's ironic or not, but we're going to end off with a little Syd Barrett from his first album, The Madcap Laughs.
But first, we're going to hear his replacement, David
Gilmour. Yeah, exactly.
Gilmour.
They were
See,
briefly
the
in the band together, and there's a handful of... Yep.
Oh.
They were. There's a tiny bit of overlap. But Syd Barrett was kind of fading away by that point. And there's even some band photos with five of them.
Oh, yeah.
There is, which...
They exist.
I think there's about maybe a two-month period where David Gilmour and Syd Barrett were both in the band.
Hmm.
Anyways, here we go. Ending off with Syd Barrett and first David Gilmour with No Way. I'm glad you were listening today.
Another episode.
Yeah.
Tawny the Brave, CKOW, 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Thanks for being here, Soren. And we'll talk to all the rest of you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Radio Land.
Love you. There's no way. Cause it's my show.
trying to hold your love where I can't see, because I understand that you're different from me. Yes, I can tell that you can't be what you pretend. Holding a secret.